Would turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. It's going to read like the first six verses. Exodus chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. With cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled, one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain, from the selve edge in the coupling, and likewise thou shalt make in the uttermost edge of another curtain, in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. Now we're coming in this to the building of the actual tent itself. We've been talking about basically the furniture inside, all except one piece, because that comes later. But Moses, I mean, we spent the whole chapter before this just about the furniture. And now we're getting to the building of the actual tabernacle itself. And Moses is getting these instructions from God, because this is God's design. It's not what Moses thought. It's not what anybody else thought. This is the way God said to build this, to make himself a dwelling where I will dwell with my people. This is the dwelling place where the ark, the mercy seat, the table, and the candlestick are to be put inside. And he starts this off with the inner covering, the curtains. And this makes up the part of the tabernacle that is actually seen by the priest. It's going to be the inside. Moses was to make 10 curtains. And again, God starts off with, here's what you're going to make them out of. You're going to make them out of fine twined linen. These curtains were to be made of twined linen, but not only that, it was to be fine twined linen. Because for the tabernacle, you don't use regular linen. The inside of God's tabernacle is made of the good stuff. I thought about this growing up. See, there was 8 kids in my mom and dad. So our dining room table took a lot of abuse. Let's just kind of put it that way. But my mom had one tablecloth that she hid somewhere. I don't know where it was. That tablecloth would come out on special occasions. It'd come out for Easter Sunday dinner. It'd come out for Thanksgiving dinner. It'd come out for Christmas dinner. Now, we never used the china unless somebody got married, but she would pull out this tablecloth. And I'm telling you, you'd sit down, and it was nice. I mean, it was fine linen. I didn't know what it was at the time. All I knew is it's like You know, Mom, where's a regular tablecloth? I'm using this one now. For the special occasion, she would bring out the good stuff. And that's what this is. And I think about what we use for the Lord's table here. Because that reminds me of the tablecloth we used to have that I'd only see 3 or 4 times a year. Fine twine linen, the good stuff. And it says, and blue. And scarlet and purple and cherubim of cunning work. This was to be a pretty piece of work. When we get to it, we'll get to it. The outside of it didn't look like anything special, but when you got on the inside, you had the golden candlestick for the light. You had the table with the showbread. You had the veil across separating the holy place from the holiest place. But across it, the top and the ceiling, because the way this thing is put together, it's pretty. It's beautiful on the inside. Quality workmanship. But this fine twine linen itself evidently was not colored. The coloring came from the outside, from something else added in. And in this linen, we see the holiness and the perfection of the work of Christ. In the end, in the book of Revelation, it talks about people and Christ being clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say that this is white. And I don't know what raw linen looks like, but if it's made of cotton, usually cotton's pretty white. It's a light color anyway. There's no color in it. There's no spot on it. There's no blemish on it. It was pure, fine, twined linen. Then they add these colors. Blue and purple and scarlet. And these colors represent different things, of course, which we stated before. Blue represents his heavenly origin. Jesus Christ came down from heaven. The design of this tabernacle came from God. And blue is the heavenly color, the color of the sky. It came down. The design came down from the Father. Jesus Christ came down from the Father. The purple shows his royal majesty because he is king. Even in the wilderness, even in the promised land, even now. While he was here, demons obeyed him. Are you come to torment us before your time? Yeah. He is king, and the purple shows that. The scarlet shows his shed blood and his earthly glory in a coming day. Because there's going to be coming a time when he comes back wearing fine linen, but there's going to be some bloodshed. But it also shows his shed blood because he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And these colors were added into the linen as an addition to the pure linen. As Walter said, this shows different perfections of Christ. His holiness, his deity, his kingship. But the overall theme is the holiness and perfection, the fine twined linen. Amen. Over the whole of the inside of the tabernacle. Because there are 10 of these curtains, and it tells you, gives you the dimensions, 28 feet long. 28 cubits long. Well, if they're right, they say cubits about a foot and a half. It's supposedly the length of your arm to the end of your finger. Now, whose arm and whose finger, I don't know, okay? Because it seems like that's an awful subjective measurement, depending upon how tall your carpenter is or how long his arms are. But I'm assuming they had a standard, okay? But they say generally it's a foot and a half. That makes this curtain 42 feet long, thereabouts. Good estimate. And about 6 foot wide. Now, five of these were sewn together lengthwise. And I multiplied this out. And I did use a calculator, so the numbers should be right. They're sewn together lengthwise, and they make two huge curtains. 28 cubits long, which is, I said, about 42 feet, by 20 cubits wide. 4 by 5. Or 4 foot wide, and then five of them together, which is about 30 feet. Now, these two big curtains are to be attached together at the edges by 100 loops of blue. Or more of that heaven stuff. These two curtains are put together. They put 50 loops of blue on one, 50 loops of blue on the other, and then they take 50 catches, hooks, clasps, buttons, there is discussion. The general consensus is hooks or clasps, and hook these two curtains together. So this fine white linen with blue and purple and scarlet and 50 loops of blue, each one of them are joined together to make one piece with gold, tashes, whatever they are. This holiness, this heavenliness, this kingship, this bloodshed, it's all connected together by deity.
Amen. That's right.
By the gold in the center. And he takes these two pieces and puts them together. This assembled curtain becomes not only the side walls, but also, it's big enough, it's the ceiling. Lengthwise 42 feet, then you've got 60 feet. And the dimensions, basically what they're saying, is the tabernacle is 15 foot wide and 15 foot tall. So you've got 15 foot across and 15 foot down and 42 feet long. Going from the holy place into even the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
It's all covered one curtain. And then I read this, and I never paid any attention to this. I'm sure I've read it before. Verse 6, chapter 26 of Exodus says, "And thou shalt make 50 tashes of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tashes, and it shall be one tabernacle."
Amen.
It's called the tabernacle. This curtain. One tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about this, you know, and it running through my head. There are 12 tribes in Israel. There's 12 apostles. There are numerous prophets and kings. There's 7 churches listed in Revelations. There are 7 seals on the Lamb's book, Walter. There's 10 commandments, and Christ later distilled them down to 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody puts the 2 commandments up on the wall, though. There are 144,000 listed as 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. There's a multitude in heaven spoken of that no man can number. There are those redeemed to God by Christ's blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. However, there is one tabernacle.
Amen. That's right.
That's it.
Yep.
Even when it goes to the other one, Mason, you ain't got two. There's just one tabernacle. Now, many things are shown in the tabernacle. There's mercy and grace. in the tabernacle. There's perfection and holiness in the tabernacle. There is glory and deity in the tabernacle. There's provider and provisions. There is blood and bread in the tabernacle. There's light in the tabernacle. But there's only one tabernacle. There's only one dwelling on earth for God. This is it. Now, this is a type, this is a shadow of what was to come, of who was to come.
Amen, that's right.
But this is the one tabernacle, this is the one picture that we have of Christ, more complete than just about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of what is in Christ, but there is only one Christ. There's only one dwelling, this is it. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one good shepherd. There are many sheep. There's one flock. And there's only one gospel. There's one. Because there's only one tabernacle. There's one Christ. And they may say, they have said, and they will say again, lo, here is Christ. Lo, here is Christ. There he is. Don't believe him. Because when Christ comes again, and he is coming again. If you know him, you're not going to be able to miss him. I swear, it's just amazing, you know. People don't read the Bible. And if it is, if they do read it, I'm sorry, their reading comprehension skills are like third grade level. Or less. I understand why there is a television show called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on TV. All you have to do is talk to somebody about what's actually in this book. And you'll find out, if they've read it, they don't know anything about what they've read. And when I was growing up, that was one of the big tests. We actually had a class in elementary school called reading. Reading! And there were tests! And people hated it. And people were bad at it. And it's still the same today. They don't like reading. There was a fellow at the place where we used to go to church. And the first time, every time he stood up or every time he said anything. And I used to cringe whenever he did. Well, preacher said. And he'd quote something or say something that preacher had said. That every time. And there's a lot of that goes around. Even if they don't say it that way, they don't preface it with that statement. But he did, and that used to get on my nerves. What does a book say? I mean, you can repeat what I say if you want to, if it's amusing or something like that. But as far as the truth of God, it's in here. And if I agree with that, okay. And if I don't, let me know. Well, I know you will. Trust me. I've been around you guys long enough. And I like it. When he comes again, you're not going to miss him. When he comes the second time, there are some that who are asleep in him. They're going to be raised. Those that are alive and remain shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And when he comes again, those that know him will meet him in the air.
Amen.
Yep. I believe you'll recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're going to need me at that time to say, hey, look, it's Christ. Now, I might be dumb enough to say something like that. But hopefully when I get changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye, I might become a little smarter. And, you know, maybe my reading comprehension skills will get better, too. And here's some of the sweetest words in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I remember when I first started out at New Zion, Walter, when I was there. And I'd been somewhere else before. And see, they started on some of this tribulation stuff there, and really kind of got into it because it was a threat. They used it as a club, the fact of the great tribulation was coming. And you don't want to go through that. And oh, you don't want to be here when the moon turns to blood and the waters turn to bitter and wormwood and all that. I mean, you know, it was a scare tactic. Is what they used it for. I'm not saying, you know, some of it's not in here. But what they were using it for was trying to scare people into making the decision. And to come forward so that you would escape the great tribulation. That's what it was for. And I didn't know a whole lot back then. I still some days don't think I know a whole lot now, but I do know a bit more than what I used to. And I think I might have told you this, Walter. I don't know a whole lot. All I know is that when this time comes, when I get changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, or if I'm dead and I'm raised, changed, and I go to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm not worried about anything else. Not a bit. Now, what comes after, he'll tell me. And I'll do. And I've got some ideas. I mean, there's some things told in here. Which I'm not going to go into. I better not. There's one tabernacle. And when he comes back, I believe he's going to be wearing fine white linen. He's going to be wearing it. Just like what the tabernacle had on the inside. And the priests could go in and they'd see that every day. Because they had the light there. They got to see it every day. The fine twined linen, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the blue loops, and the gold tashes that put it together to make one tabernacle. One tabernacle. Just one. And this is what makes it. The person of Christ. He is holy. He is completely righteous. I read a book. And I understand what they were saying. It was that book Mary, you gave me. They were talking about the application of one of the feasts. And it talked about it. And he wrote in there. That see, this is Christ, and I can't remember which one. I think it was the Feast of the Sheaf Offering. But what he writes is that see, this is Christ. It was pure. It was unleavened, or whatever, the leavened bread, and all this, and it was pure. And he said, and Christ was innocent. Christ was. If he meant he was innocent of guilt, okay. I can understand that. But Christ was perfectly holy and righteous. He did things. I mean, innocent normally means you didn't do anything. You know, that's what normally what it means. Or I'm innocent of guilt. I'm innocent of wrongdoing. That part I understand. But no, he was here. And the blue meant that he come from heaven. The king meant, the purple meant that he is king.
Yeah.
And as king, he ruled. He rules and he will rule forever.
Amen.
And he's still perfect.
Yeah, he is.
There's only one tabernacle. There's only one tabernacle. And I had never seen that before. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, if you got a problem with that, I got nothing for you. That's part of them reading comprehension skills. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because I believe what Paul wrote there.
Amen.
And that is the day that I'm waiting for. When the tabernacle, the one tabernacle, comes back.
Amen.
And this is what you should also be looking for. And hasting unto.
Yep.
I like that. Hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. There was a tabernacle in the wilderness. And then Mason, there was a tabernacle in the promised land. There's a tabernacle now. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. And there's a tabernacle coming again. And I'm waiting for it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this day. And the one true God, our Lord Jesus Christ, comes back to this world in power and glory for his saints, which he has promised to do. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In his name we ask. Amen.